If you'd like to turn with me, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. We are looking at the songs of Christmas. Do you remember a time when you got really good news? It could have been some big life event, a big answer to prayer, maybe a breakthrough in a difficult relationship. Maybe something as simple as, you know, your team finally won the championship. I don't know. Any kind of good news is nice. It's especially since so much of the news we hear most of the time, the constant stream of headlines and everything is usually not good. And there's hard things going on in life all the time. I mean, there's always difficult things to deal with around us and personally. But we can remember that actually there is in this world also genuinely good news. And especially as we approach Christmas. Christmas is a time when we remember and celebrate good news. The best news that ever came to humanity. News that is so good, in fact, that it can overwhelm all of the bad news put together. And so, as we've been looking at the beginning of Luke's gospel, and we've seen many of the first people to hear the news of Christmas, they have something in common. They respond with songs. They rejoice. Which is exactly the right response. So today we're going to look at the announcement of the very best news ever coming to some of the most unlikely people, and that is some shepherds out in their fields. We've already looked at Mary. You know, when she got the news that she would bear the Savior of the world, she sang. And then last week we looked at Zechariah's song after he got news as well of what God was doing. So now we come to our text today. We're picking up the text, picking up the story right after the birth of Jesus. And we'll see another song of praise. But this time the song comes from a company of angels. But it's not an accident that we have so many songs recorded when Jesus comes to earth. We'll see today how these angels bring very, very good news to the shepherds. But it's not just a bit of information. This information of what God is doing is actually the foundation of joy and peace and salvation for humanity. It's news that changes everything. So it can't just be something that is just mentally affirmed and then we hear it, we acknowledge it, we move on. If this news doesn't change our hearts, if it doesn't come out of us in glory and praise, then actually something has gone wrong. This is more than just news. This is everything. So let's take it our text now. Take a look at our text. It's Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 8 so that we can get the full context of what's going on. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. This morning, I want to look at just two parts of what the angels messages to the shepherds. First, we'll consider the angels' news, the news that they bring. And secondly, the angels' song, because they don't just bring news, they also sing. And why that song is such an important part of their message, and how the shepherds actually end up singing as well. And what our own response is to the news of Christmas. So, but first let's consider the news itself, the angels' news. We see that in verses 10 and 11, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The angel said, "I bring you good news." And that's very refreshing in a world so full of bad news. And let me tell you, world being full of bad news is not a new phenomenon. Just because we get it all the time on our phones, that's kind of a new thing. But there was always plenty of bad news to go around. You see in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2 here, you see kind of what the current headlines were for the Jerusalem Times when Jesus was born. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. The first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their town to register." Why would Caesar want a census? Well, because Caesar wanted more taxes. I mean, that's how these things work. This was not good news for normal people living under the thumb of Roman rule. This was the news that their conqueror was gathering more information about them, and Rome had proven that that information would be used for the benefit of Rome, not for the benefit of the people that they had conquered. It's just more bad news, as usual. But God steps into this world in the middle of this and sends an angel to these poor shepherds in the countryside near Bethlehem. And there in that remote place, these shepherds, who were used to being ignored and kind of looked down on, God announces this incredibly good news. The birth of God's long-promised Messiah, the one who would actually be able to bring lasting salvation and peace between God and mankind. So that good news is actually bigger than the Roman Empire and all the bad news that it could bring. That good news is bigger than every bit of bad news that the world has ever had in it, all put together. This good news can overwhelm all of it. So the angel brought this good news into a world of such bad news, but it's important, I think, that we don't miss that what the angel brought was, in fact, news. Now, I know that's maybe sounds obvious, but I think it's important. What I mean to say is that the angel did not say, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good advice." I mean, that sounds silly, right? But actually, when you think about it, basically every other religion in the world brings us good advice. Every other religion offers some kind of system for us to follow so that we can come close to God. They offer us advice on what we need to do, some set of rules that we need to follow. They point us in a direction, but they don't actually help us to get there. They tell us what we have to do ourselves. And that's why it's so striking that when the angel came to the shepherds, they brought good news. News is not about what I need to do. News is about what someone else has done. And this is what makes Christianity different from every other religion. It is not advice on how we can find our way to God. It is news about how God has found his way to us. How he came to the world to seek and save the lost, as Jesus said. When we had no ability to save ourselves, the angel said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." That's the news. And that good news implies some bad news. Because the bad news is that we need a Savior. We really have turned away from God in sin. The bad news is that our sin and pride and selfishness really are wrecking the world, bringing all sorts of suffering and pain and destruction and heartache and death to God's good creation. I mean, even including definitely ourselves. The bad news is that the consequences of our sin are God's just judgment, God's just wrath. The bad news is that it is impossible for us to meet God's standards, to find our way back to him in our own, by our own effort, by our own strength. But the angels announce a Savior who has been born to you, who would bring joy, who would bring peace, good news that is bigger than all the bad news put together. God himself come into our world as one of us so that he could live a perfect life, so that he could offer that perfect life as a sacrifice for our sin, as a substitute for us, taking the punishment we deserve, so that if we come to him in repentance and faith, if we turn away from our sin and turn towards him in trust, in obedience, then God promises to forgive us. And more than that, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness by his power, by the power of his salvation, his forgiveness, and remake us into the people that he created us to be. Free from all the terrible sin that's destroying us and the world around us. He won us peace with God and peace with each other as well if we come to him. It's no wonder that the angels said that this news will cause great joy for all people. In verse 10, this salvation is exactly what we need to solve actually every single problem on earth, even death itself. And our pain and sorrow and suffering and selfishness and literally everything that is wrong, this salvation is what cuts right to the root of it all. The root that caused all of these problems, the sin that is underneath them. And deal with it completely. And bring us full salvation. If that doesn't bring joy, then I don't know what could. And this is not just a joy for a few privileged insiders. This joy is actually, the angels say, for all the people. Everyone can access this joy in exactly the same way. God's salvation is big enough. It's a gift. It is a gift that is big enough to deal with everyone's sin and guilt and shame. It's big enough to restore and bring life and peace and joy to any person, anywhere, who will simply accept the gift of salvation from the open hands of God. We won't benefit from that gift unless we actually accept it from him. But there is no greater gift possible. And it is available, as the angels say, to all the people. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is the good news, and it is good news. All of a sudden, heaven opens, and the best announcement you could ever get is proclaimed by this host of heaven to these shepherds. It must have been just an awesome sight. Can you imagine? I mean, here's all these angels, but notice, the angels bring news, but they don't stop there. So we've looked at the angels' news, but let's consider as well the angels' song. Because they announce this amazing news. They also give the shepherds some instructions on where to find the baby in verse 12. But they don't stop with just all the relevant information and then leave. No, they finish their announcement with an incredible display of praise and glory. With a song, verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, praising God, saying glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Can you imagine actually seeing that happen? Not just one angel. I mean, one angel in the Bible is always enough to absolutely terrify anyone. They're awesome in the true sense of the word. But this is a great company of the heavenly host. This is overwhelming. And what are they doing? They are praising God, giving glory to God for what God is doing. And notice as well at the end, after the shepherds obey the angels, they go, they meet Mary and Joseph, they meet Jesus for themselves, and they end up afterwards doing the exact same thing that the angels do. If you look down in verse 20, the shepherds return glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So the response of the angels and the shepherds is the same, to give glory and praise to God. And if we really understand the news that the angels brought to the shepherds, then I think this should be our response as well. So I'd like to finish today by just looking at three ways that we can join the angels and shepherds in responding to the best news that's ever come to our world. First, we can glorify God with them. We can, secondly, praise God with them. And then thirdly, we can, like the shepherds, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live in the peace that he brings. So first, we glorify God. Our response to the good news of Christmas is not simply just to try harder. This is not good advice, remember? This is good news. The angels did not say, you'd better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why Jesus Christ is coming to town. That's not the message of Christmas. No matter how many songs it gets into. The message of Christmas is that you were not good enough to make it to God. No matter how much you keep yourself from pouting. But God made it to you. The Savior has come. Our response to the coming of Jesus is not to just try very hard to win God's favor. Our response should be to fall down and worship, joyfully accepting salvation from his hands, not pretending that we could earn it ourselves. Paul says in Ephesians 2, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. If we were the ones who earned our salvation, then we would have something to boast about. We could say, I tried really hard and I did it. I did it myself. But salvation is a gift. It is not something we could earn. It is not something we did earn. But God has given it anyway, at a great cost to himself. And that means all glory belongs to God, not us. So when we hear the news of Christmas, we should join with the angels and the shepherds in glorifying God. He is the one who deserves the glory for Christmas. He's the one who deserves the glory for salvation, and he alone. We can't just take the news, this amazing news, and see it and then just, you know, scroll past to the next headline. God deserves glory for what he has done. We should be actively pointing to him, saying to everyone, God has done it. He did what we could never do. He deserves the glory. He deserves all the glory. How can we simply accept salvation and not actually break out in song and joy and rejoicing, celebrating and giving glory to God? He deserves all the glory that we can bring. He deserves actually far more than we could ever bring. And he deserves all the praise. We glorify God with the angels and shepherds, and we praise God with them. Verse 13 and 14, verse 20, we see both words used for the angels and for the shepherds. They glorified and they praised. The great company of the heavenly host appeared, praising God, saying, glory to God. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. And obviously, those two words are very similar. But Luke doesn't just use one or the other. He uses both in both cases. And when the angels and shepherds glorify God, they are recognizing his greatness. They are displaying that he displayed in his act of salvation. They are giving him glory that is his due. He's the one who is accomplishing this amazing news, who is achieving this salvation. He is the one who rightfully receives all the glory for it forever and ever. But praising God is very similar, and there's a huge overlap, but I think it does add a little bit of a different dimension as well, because praise speaks to maybe a more personal response. Someone can be glorious and do glorious things, and we could recognize that glory, but when we're really gripped by it, when we're captivated by the wonder and awe of what has happened, then I think that naturally always is going to overflow out of us in praise. I mean, you think of the things on earth that you praise. We do praise things and people and things all the time. Incredible skills of sports stars. Or like the hero last week who stopped the shooter on the beach in Australia, received a lot of praise, rightfully. When you're gripped and amazed by, you know, someone's skill or courage or even just something beautiful, like a great sunset set or something, our joy in that, our amazement, in that experience will overflow in natural praise. We want other people to see what we've seen. We want other people to appreciate what we appreciate. And what on earth could be more wonderful, more amazing, more courageous, more skillful, more loving or generous than Jesus coming to be one of us in order to save us, to bring us life that never ends in himself? Yes, he deserves all the glory. He has done it, and he alone. But if you really understand what he's done and how it affects you, you won't just recognize that glory. We will overflow with wonder, with awe, with worship, and yes, with praise, amazed over and over again at the greatness of God and the salvation that he has won for us. At his love and faithfulness, at his sacrifice, at his power, at his resurrection, at the whole thing. See, the angels bring glory and praise to God, even though they actually never experienced God's salvation personally like we can. They saw it from a distance. Do you know, it was affecting people, but it wasn't for them. They weren't the ones that sinned. They weren't the ones who were saved. And yet they stood in awe of all that God was doing. They sang for joy and they sang for glory and praise. But the shepherds, when they praised and glorified God like we can, they needed that salvation. They could experience that salvation personally themselves. So they sang for glory. They sang for praise from personal experience of need and provision. And we can join in that song as well. And actually, we need to join in that song. I think our hearts need to be captivated by God, by the wonder of what he has done. And one of the ways that we can actually grow in that is to bring God our praise. You don't have to wait until you're feeling overwhelmed by God's love and God's salvation to start praising him. You can actually go ahead and just praise him anyway, knowing what he has done and the greatness of it. And maybe if we don't feel it as much as we should, maybe even then praising him anyway can help us to remember the greatness of what he's done and be captivated by it all over again. And another way that we can bring glory and praise to God is to just simply act on his salvation. As the shepherds acted on what the angels said, the angels said, "This is where you'll find the baby. You can go to him." And the shepherds acted on that. They went to Jesus as the angels directed them. But we can do that as well. We can come to Jesus. We can accept his gift of salvation. We can live in the peace that he provides, the peace on earth that he brings. We can come to him every day. So we glorify God. We praise him. But we also come to Jesus and live in his peace. The shepherds didn't just hear the information that the angels shared. They acted on it. They got up. They went down to Bethlehem straight away to find Jesus. And that should be our response as well. We hear that the glorious Savior has come. We hear the news, the good news of what's been done. But what will we do about it? Will we actually come to him? We hear about this Savior that brings peace. Will we actually live in that peace today? I mean, if you got the best news in the world, the best announcement possible, what good does it do you if you just ignore it? What good would it do you if you didn't, or even if you recognize, hey, this, you know, this is amazing. This is an amazing gift, but you never open the gift. If you never open it, it doesn't do you any good. And a much smaller example, I mean, let's say you suddenly inherit €1 billion from some long lost relative. That's a much smaller gift, but it'd be pretty nice. And you say, oh, that's great. That's good to know. But you never touch the money. You go on living exactly as you did before. You're still worrying about paying your bills and inflation and taxes and all the rest. But you have all the resources you need. You have them in your account already. Why would you keep on living like you're poor? But it's the same with us. The Messiah has come. The angels announce peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. If you're going to accept that gift, then you need to come to Jesus every day. Or are you going to just keep on living in fear and guilt and anxiety and worry about the future, constantly working yourself to death to provide for yourself, to win favor with God, to build up your own security, your own future? No, stop it. The angels didn't bring good advice on how to try harder. The angels brought good news. Peace has already arrived. Salvation is already here. You can live in that salvation. You can live in that peace now. Isaiah 26, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. That's the key. Peace does not come from us. Peace comes to us. It does not come from our hard work or clever plans or good intentions. It comes from God's provision in Jesus Christ. And if you want that peace today, you've got to come where it is provided in Jesus, like the shepherds did. You've got to come to Jesus, put your life, your problems, your worries, your concerns, your joy, everything you have in the hands of Jesus and trust him with everything. He may not always provide the way that you expect, but he has already won salvation. He has already won every promise that he ever made. He will give exactly what is best at every time for his children. So we can live in trust that brings peace in our salvation. This peace does not come automatically to everyone, though. The angel said it comes to those on whom his favor rests. Are those the very good people? The people who have tried very, very hard. Well, who does God's favor rest on? Proverbs 3:34 says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. We don't come proving ourselves in our goodness. He's not Santa. That's not how it works. He gives his favor and grace and peace. All of these incredible, never-ending gifts. His inheritance, he gives it all to the humble, to the contrite, to the poor in spirit, who recognize their need for a savior and accept with gratitude the wonderful news, the gift that has been provided to us at Christmas. The savior has come. Good news. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. And let our whole lives become an act of praise for our glorious Savior. Let us come to him today and every day, and let us go out in praise, glorifying him, living out of the peace that he has provided. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize that we often get used to the idea of our salvation, even of all that you've done, and take it for granted how good this news is. And we let our fears and anxieties and other things crowd in, not recognizing all that we have in Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember what the angels saying. Help us to remember the good news that has come. And this Christmas, Lord, I pray that you would refocus our hearts and our minds, our lives on you, Lord, that you would work in us and make our lives more into what you created us to be. Help us to bring you glory for all that you have done, to bring you praise that you deserve, and to live in the abundance of your salvation and your peace. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Leave you with the blessing that God gave his people. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Amen.